In these days of Advent, may the God of peace be with you. You may be seated. You know, what is it about stories? We love stories. In fact, when we were little, we probably loved having our parents or grandparents tell us stories. And that's, I guess, one of the privileges of being a grandparent. We remember those stories. And sometimes we even like hearing them over and over again, especially if they're funny or they make us laugh. Jesus told a lot of stories. We love his parables because they're easy to remember and we always learn something from them. And I just was wondering, I realize some of these illustrations are getting a little bit older as I get older, but how many of you remember the little rhyme or the little tune that went, you know, tell me a story, tell me a story, tell me a story before I go to bed. You promised me, you said you would. You gotta give in so I'll be good. Tell me a story and then I'll go to bed. Yeah, we love to sing that as kids, and we love those stories before we went to bed. So this morning, I want to begin with a modern parable, a story that actually never happened, but it's still true in some profound way. And here's the story. There was a businessman from a metropolitan area who received a registered letter informing him that an entrepreneurial group in another city had decided to honor him with the prestigious Innovator of the Year Award. And he was very delighted. And so on the day of the presentation, he allowed himself plenty of time to drive the interstate from one community to the other. But at the last minute, his phone rang and he ended up, if you will, putting out a fire, as they say in the corporate world, handling an unexpected production emergency at the local factory. And so once on the road and running late, he told his GPS device, "Show me a shortcut that will get me to my destination faster than the normal route." Then he turned the task over to the navigation and his GPS device and started out. Well, to his surprise, somewhere southeast of the city, near the county line, he was instructed to take an exit. He figured it was probably a trustworthy message, and so he turned off. Then he was directed onto a local blacktop. Well, that was fine. But then a few miles further on, the blacktop changed into a gravel road. And that, he thought, was pretty odd. But he didn't have time to turn around and go back. And so he just kept going. And then the gravel road gave way to dirt. And it had rained the night before, and so the dirt was really more like soft mud. And he slowed down, but he kept going. And he began to wonder whether his GPS had lost its mind. And so he spoke to it and said, "Are you sure this is the right way?" And the metallic-sounding voice replied, "Have I ever let you down before? Just keep going." Now he was getting a little, not only a little nervous, but a little irritated as well. And he fully expected to see more pavement up ahead in just a moment. But instead, the muddy road turned into a pair of tracks, sort of a one-way path that seemed to lead into a field. He thought, "My GPS had better know what he's doing, or it's going to have some explaining to do." Immediately, that struck him as being rather absurd. His GPS had never been known to provide the rationale for anything, much less for making a mistake. So suddenly up ahead, he saw a barbed wire fence blocking two cows on which, or the track on which he was driving, and he coasted up and he stopped, and through the windshield he found himself staring at a couple of cows and who were there studying him with great interest. And he climbed out and he looked at his tires and realized that he was mired halfway up in mud to the hubcaps and he was going to need a tow truck. So very angry, he pulls out his cell phone and he calls the organizer of the event in the distant city and says, "I'm going to be late." And then he hangs up. And then he speeds dials AAA and asks for a wrecker. The man on the other end of the line said, "Well, tell me where you are." Well, he couldn't do it. He tried to describe how he'd gotten there. And the tow truck operator said, "Well, I have no idea where you are. Walk to a farmhouse, and maybe they can call and explain it from there." He turned off his phone and said to his GPS, "Thanks for nothing." The answer he got was, "Well, we're sorry. The device is experiencing a fatal software flaw. Please navigate by using your wits and your common sense." Needless to say, he missed the ceremony and he missed the award. Well, the story, in many ways, is a parable for our lives. We draw it from the writer here of Mark's Gospel as he attributes the words to Jesus in our text. John the Baptist appears in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of forgiveness, of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, the Greek word for repentance in Mark's Gospel is the word metanoia. It means change your mind, or turn around, stop going the wrong way, face a healthy direction, and then go there. So in terms of John the Baptist's words to his listeners, this parable is a cautionary tale about the need to turn around and to go a different way. Could the driver headed to the award ceremony have known that he was headed for trouble? Well, I mean, for crying out loud, there were all kinds of signs if he'd just paid attention. I mean, surely when the pavement turned to gravel, he should have known something was amiss. That would have been time to have turned off his GPS and to turn around and to simply follow his better judgment. And how does that apply to us? I mean, I'm guessing that nobody in this room was ever invited to drive to a distant city to accept a prize for innovative creativity, although there's probably still a chance maybe that one of us in a congregation actually could do that. But all of us are on a journey, and our journey through life can best be thought of as a pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage that Jesus leads us into God's future. I mean, here we are on this wonderful blue and white planet in order to discover what God has in mind for us and then to do it as best we are able. And what are the signs along the way that tell us whether or not we're on the right path or whether we're really heading for disaster? Well, there's a simple answer. We are moving in the right direction when we discern what is good for us and for the people whom we meet and with whom we interact from day to day. When we follow the way that Christ has set before us, and if and when it becomes clear that our lives are being enriched and that theirs too, because of the choices that we make for ourselves and also on their behalf, then we know for sure that we are going in the right direction, the one that Jesus leads us as we go and follow God's plan for us. Well, what then are the warning signs? Well, those are pretty clear as well. I mean, every time it becomes obvious that we are doing something or allowing something to happen that harms ourselves or another person, we can certainly be sure that we have taken a wrong turn. God gave us eyes and ears and brains in order to read the signs. Well, I know sometimes we may not notice right away. We're not always aware of the damage maybe that we've been causing. But as soon as it becomes clear, we need to turn. We need to change direction. We need, as Mark says, or as Mark records, we need to repent. You know, if someone in your neighborhood, you know, which includes the people you encounter, whether you might find, whoever you might find yourself encountering in your normal course of a day, if they're experiencing despair of any kind and you become aware of it and you take no action whatsoever to help them or to find someone else to help them, then you certainly are taking the wrong road. It's time to turn around onto a better one, because otherwise both you and that person are surely going to be diminished and God's heart will be grieved. You know, all four of the gospel writers and also the Apostle Paul talk about repentance, turning, changing direction, getting on a better road. In fact, the Gospel of Luke does it more consistently and more forcefully than any of the other writers. But Mark, being written before Luke and being the first surviving New Testament Gospel, lifts up the importance of this message for the faith community. And he does it in the very first chapter. You know, the United Negro College Fund uses a slogan that's useful for all of us. It tells people a mind is a terrible thing to waste. That's the message of this gospel story. We can turn our lives away from the path that enriches and fulfills our lives, or we can turn life's gravelly roads and mud tracks onto a road designed just for us. One that refuses to see any human life as wasted or thrown away, including our own. Mark's call, in modern terms, is don't get stuck. Take the better road. You see, repentance, changing our mind, turning around, is a good theme for us in the middle of this Advent season. It's also a good starting point for beginning a new church year. You know, we're always accustomed to making New Year's resolutions on the first day of January. Well, there's really no need to wait. A great new church year's resolution for all of us could really be this: I'm ready for something new, something different, a changed direction, a better path. I want to be a child of the light. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to head down a new road through the repentance that Jesus has given to me. I know that that is why God put me on this planet in the first place. And so I wish you a happy pilgrimage. And as you travel this hopeful path through this Advent season and beyond, rejoice and be glad that our Lord Jesus leads us daily into new directions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.